This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
I never felt so quite to step.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. It's our pleasure to welcome one of the great broadcasters in the country in college basketball. He's with CBS. He is Clark Kellogg. And since Clark and I are the same, or about the same age, and we actually, this is what we have in common. We actually were teammates with the same guy, Steve Stepanovich. I did it in high school. Clark, of course, did it in the NBA. And for these younger people that turn on Clark Kellogg and see his handsome face waxing eloquently about the game, they don't remember that at one time, this guy was one of the great players in America, McDonald's All-American. And I believe, Clark Kellogg, your first year in the NBA, your first year, you were a 20-10 guy, 20 points and 10 rebounds a game. True or false?
That is correct, Frank. You've got the bases covered well. Great to visit with you. And that goes back a while when I actually hooped, but time doesn't wait on any of us. It continues to move, and there is a generation that solely knows me as part of March Madness over the last 20-plus years, and those old enough or in the right age bracket can also recall that I did bounce the ball around a little while ago.
And so, like Steve Stepanovich, if you wouldn't have had the knee issue, you would have had a long and storied NBA career. I think you only got about 5 years in the league. Was it a knee for you?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I wore away cartilage in my left knee and just never was able to get back to being able to play NBA basketball and had to retire at 26. That was back in August of 87. Steve ended up having to retire the following summer, 1988. So two promising young players in the Pacers organization at that time ended up having career-ending injuries. Both of us have gone on to do reasonably well in life after hoops, but it was difficult at the time. I mean, I was a promising young player, as was Steve. And we were going to hopefully be part of a renaissance with the Pacers. Reggie Miller was drafted in 87, and that began a journey of some really good Indiana Pacers seasons. I was fortunate enough to be part of that run as a broadcaster with the team. I actually got my broadcasting start with the Indiana Pacers on radio back in 1987-88.
All right, let's talk a little college basketball. Here in St. Louis, we just saw the Missouri Valley Conference and Wichita mm-hmm. State blow out Illinois State. Do you believe that Illinois State is going to get in? What do you think, or should get in?
I don't know if there's enough there, but I certainly think they are tournament worthy. I would love to see them have a chance, but based on how the committee evaluates teams and the number of other teams out there, it's unfortunate. I don't think they'll have enough to merit being an at-large team. And with 68 total spots, 36 at-large spots, you need all of the favorites to win their conference tournaments from the multiple bid league so that bubble can expand. And if enough of those teams were able to prevail, then you might have room for a team like Illinois State. Deserving, but that's not always the criteria when you look at resume and results.
Not specifically, but generally, where do you fit in with a team that goes 17-1 in a smaller conference as opposed to a team that's got, 10 or 11 losses in a big conference?
Oh, I'm a big proponent of trying to find a way to have the smaller conference teams be included. It's difficult to weigh quality of wins when so often the smaller schools or the non-power conference schools don't get an opportunity to play as many high RPI opponents, if you will, in part because of conference strength or lack thereof. And also the big fellas don't play them as much as I think they should for the benefit of college basketball. So it's a conundrum in that regard. But I'm very much in favor of the benefit of the doubt comparing a team like Illinois State to a middle-of-the-road ACC or Pac-12 or Big Ten or any other power conference. I would tend, as an individual committee member, if there was enough meat on the bone for the non-power conference school, that would be where my bias would lean.
Do you think we have enough pure basketball people on that committee nowadays?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we do. I mean, it's not a perfect system, Frank. There's no way when you've got human subjectivity and objectivity as your criteria and as the way that folks make decisions, there's no perfect answer. It's a finite field. It's a finite field. There's 68 spots. You have a chance to earn one by winning your conference postseason tournament. That's a legitimate chance for all 32 conferences. Then you have an opportunity to earn, based on your resume and results, a chance to be one of the 36 at-larges. And I think even though we've expanded from 64 to 65 to 68 over the last 10 years, that there's not a lot of belly aching about teams that don't get there. You might have one or two legitimate cases in the last few years, and it should be that way. It should be hard to get in. It should be hard. If not, then just have everybody do like you do in high school. Just have everybody play. But the tournament is special because you have to earn your way there, and there are ample opportunities. In some cases, the deck is stacked a little unfairly against some of the smaller conferences. But at the end of the day, they too have opportunities to get there.
So it appears right now as we speak, the number one seeds are going to be Kansas, Gonzaga, Villanova, and North Carolina. Of those four teams, who do you like the best?
I've got the most I like them all, but I've got the most conviction probably about Villanova, just because the intangibles that they have as a defending championship team with a good nucleus of those guys back. The play of Brunson is really elevated. Josh Hart is a strong player of the year candidate. Not very deep, not very big, but they do show the kind of resolve, the kind of tenacity that you'll need to have to win in a one-and-done crucible of March Madness. They've proven they can do that, and I think that gives them a good chance to be in Phoenix. I think they need better play up front. Darryl Reynolds has been hurt recently with an injury, a rib injury, but is expected to be moving towards 100%. And if he can give them quality play up front, the perimeter is strong enough to make a deep run. I like Kansas because of the guard play, but their front line has been Lucas has been excellent, but he's not a guy who scores a lot. And then after that, I like the balance of Gonzaga, and yet we'll see if they can make it happen to a point of getting to the Final Four. But I love the balance, the depth, the size. I think they've got more of the kind of basketball ingredients you would love to have as a coach. And Carolina, clearly size, but they've been a little bit up and down to this point.
You know, I know Kansas has had a magical year, and Frank Mason, I believe, is a first-team All-American guard. But I keep thinking if you look at what they could be looking at in the second round, if some of these brackets hold true, a Kansas-Wichita State matchup. And with Kansas's history of losing to some Valley schools in the NCAA tournament, I mean, I imagine how tight they would be in that game. What a second-round matchup that could be.
Well, I think we're going to have terrific games throughout the tournament just because of what you said. There are going to be some teams in those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 seeds that are pretty good, and the gap is not that great between those teams that will be on the 1 through 4 line and those teams that will be seeded lower. So you will have some intriguing matches. I think we'll see a lot of close games throughout the tournament. At the end of the day, the upsets may show up, they may not, but I think we'll have dramatic competitive games and intriguing matchups based on where some of these really good mid-major teams fall on the seed line. And not even that, I think a team like SMU, a team like Cincinnati, Cincinnati looks like it may find a way to the four line. I don't know what happens with SMU if they were able to win the American Conference Championship, but that team is one that nobody wants to see. Wichita State, much the same. UNC Wilmington, if they're able to get through their tournament or get an at-large bid. Kevin Keats' team is not very big, but extremely explosive. Challenged Duke last year in its matchup with the Blue Devils and have most of those guys back. I think Vermont is an interesting team if they get a decent seed and matchup. So there are a number of teams out there, Florida Gulf Coast or North Florida. Well, Florida Gulf Coast, because they advanced yesterday and they punched their ticket. So that team is not a typical double-digit seed team. I mean, they've got some size and athleticism, a terrific perimeter. So there are a number of teams out there that could upset the apple cart. for some of the heavyweights in the higher seeds.
Yeah, I'm hardly going out on a limb by suggesting Duke, but they have had kind of an uneven season and losing Coach K for a while. Boy, the talent they put out there, when they're all healthy, is that the most talented team in America when they're all out there?
I don't know. I've not seen it because, again, there was a lot of hype around Harry Giles. We've seen Jason Tatum. He certainly has lived up to the billing that he received as an incoming freshman. Grayson Allen, I don't know if he'll recapture his All-America form from a year ago, because when you're hurt, even though you can play, if you're not practicing, it's hard to be at your very sharpest and best. You can't perform when the lights are on if you're not able to do the work behind the scenes in terms of practice and preparation. I don't care who you are. So those things, and you're right, it's been an uneven year. But we know the championship run is a three-week run. And sometimes disjointed regular seasons, whether it be injury or inconsistent play, when things ferment, and if they do at the right time, you can get it right for 3 weeks or 2 weeks. And that's where Duke is. I don't know if they can, Frank, but I'm not going to say they can't. They play small ball. Luke Kennard has been All-America caliber. Emile Jefferson seems to be getting healthier. They are Duke. There's a culture and an expectation there that's valuable in tournament time. So that team, I mean, Kentucky did it a few years ago. They had the Harrison twins, and they kind of stumbled and stammered through the regular season and then got it right for 2 weeks in March and ended up, I think, in the Final Four. So that's part of the beauty of this thing. As much as we prognosticate and watch and look at brackets and matchups, it's still an unpredictable ride.
What do you make of the transformation of Steve Alford, who grows up in Indiana, coming off those ball screens that disciplined Bob Knight offense, to becoming this freewheeling, wild UCLA team led by Lonzo Ball?
Hey, I don't know if it's as much a transformation as it is just a natural progression of a good coach with good players. I don't think it's any more than that. Steve had a really good run at Iowa. He's won wherever he's been. And you coach New Mexico, he had a nice run, some pro players. And obviously he's got tremendous talent this year, and that's as fun a team to watch as there is in college basketball, because they're talented, they're smart, they share the ball, and they make shots. And I don't know anybody who enjoys basketball that doesn't like watching that kind of play. I don't necessarily think it's a transformation of Steve. He's been a really good coach for a long time. He's got tremendous players, and they play a system and style that fits them extremely well and has produced great results.
What do you make of Lonzo Ball at the next level? I think he's more Magic than Steph Curry. Don't you agree?
I try to refrain from the comparisons. I don't know, and I know many times folks are just interested in trying to paint a picture of who a guy reminds them of, but he's really a guy who sees two plays ahead, which is unique and a gift. There aren't many players that can do that. He's got really good size. I've not had them in person. I've watched them a ton on DVR and my iPad and so forth, so I'm very impressed with his feel, his pace, his passing. All of that translates well to the next level. Who's he going to be like? I would just like to land that he'll be the best Lonzo Ball he can be, and then we can kind of see how that plays out.
All right, before we let you go, the big story in our area, Clark, is the University of Missouri now looking for a basketball coach, and there are a lot of intriguing names on the list. The problem is a lot of these guys have jobs. The one that I think would be the most intriguing would be a guy from the area, Konzo Martin, who's had some nice runs at Tennessee, and he's done well at California. What do you think about Konzo and him possibly moving on? Do you think he stays there for a long time?
Well, I don't know what the decision will be for the athletic director there, but I have great respect and admiration for Konzo Martin. He's been really solid as a head coach wherever he's been. He's a high-quality guy, seems to be a man of great integrity and a good basketball coach. Anytime you're transitioning from one coach to the next, you have to think about what is it that you're trying to do, what is it that you need in terms of fit for your institution. So I don't speculate or project coaches. I do know some of the coaches, and I'll sit back and kind of look at what might be a good fit. But in terms of a profile for Missouri, you need somebody that has experience, that has a track record of success, that's seasoned in going into a situation where you know it's going to be a little challenging initially, but we'll have the right pillars and foundation in terms of staff and the ability to recruit and establish in a culture that you can build winning basketball on. And Konzo and others would fit that bill. And in most cases, those kinds of guys are already employed, and you'll just have to see if they'd be interested in taking on the opportunity there.
Have you taken a look at Kevin Keats from UNC Wilmington? Do you have a thought there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Love the way they play, and I actually got to know him a little bit when he was an assistant with Rick Pitino. And, you know, Rick's branch for producing assistant coaches that have formerly played or coached with him is about 29 or 30 guys, which tells you that those guys, when they've spent time with Rick Pitino, they are ready to lead programs, and Kevin doing a terrific job over at UNC Wilmington. And so, yeah, he's clearly a guy that I think for athletic directors, they're part of their job is hiring coaches. So you always have a pipeline of the up-and-comers, those that might fit your institution if need be. So I would think his name is on a number of lists that may end up looking for coaches at some time this season or in the next couple of years.
Clark, great to have your voice. We really appreciate your time. We'll be watching you for the next month. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure, Frank. Take care. Enjoy the madness, man.
All righty. Clark Kellogg joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan.
I feel like we just had Mike Claiborne on.
You think he sounds like him a little
Yes.
bit?
Yes. Yeah. I could see that a little bit.
Yeah. I could. I wonder... He wasn't going to get into I didn't want to ask him about Crane because if he's still there.
Some of the guys I know are a little hesitant to talk about that.
And I don't blame him.
And for good reason.
You don't want to say, oh, he's getting fired, so let's, you know.
Right. Crane is such an interesting example, though, because of the crazy success he's had in recent years. And just this one year that hasn't been very successful, do they move on from him that quick? I would still be kind of surprised if they did.
Indiana's weird, though. They're kind of like Nebraska, where... In terms of like Nebraska football, where good seasons, for whatever reason, just aren't good enough. You know, Crean is, he's had a kind of a bit of a retreat year this year, but before then, they were 21 seasons and more so than 21.
Last year, they won the Big Ten.
Yeah, they were excellent. They've been
27-8 or something like that.
Single digit, you know, like low single digit seeds in the tournament, 1, 2, and 3, but that's not enough because there's no Final Four.
Ironically, he's like his brother in law. He does great on people. And believe me, if Tom Crean had the demeanor of Lorenzo Romar, and he had just had the season, there would be no discussion. I don't care if he's at Indiana, Duke, or UCLA. You have one bad season after a nice run, and if you have Romar's personality, you stay. But I think if you add in the fact that he can be grating, he's a tough guy to deal with at times. That's why there's all this speculation.
Hulk Hogan's left fanny pack recently, by the way, about Mike Claiborne.
He agrees? Let's do this. Let's take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to read you some stuff on an Indiana basketball message board because they basically think he's done. It's all over. All right. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about one of our very loyal sponsors, and that is Hollywood Casino. I mentioned the news last week that they were voted the third best place to work in St. Louis. And I think that's what speaks volumes about a company. If you know that those employees like you, and if you know that the employees love going to work, well, they're going to treat you well, and they'll treat you great at Hollywood Casino. They've been around for a long time. They've redone all the rooms. You can have a weekend at a Hollywood Casino and just enjoy the heck out of yourself. Please stop by, have one of those great dinners at Final Cut Steakhouse or 99 Hops House or Charlie Gito's. Hollywood Casino, one of our great sponsors. We'll be right back.